You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hopefully you are having a great Wednesday. If you're in Appleton and Oshkosh, listening on WISS. If you're in Wausau, listening on WXCO, or in Hayward on WBZH, or even Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR. Thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate it. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. So happy that you're here. If you want to talk to us and get involved in the program, do so at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Certain age groups do not look kindly on benefits from the state. They don't want to take them unless they really, really need them. Well, that's one of the reasons that more than 200,000 adults 65 and older in Wisconsin are eligible for funding from SNAP, but they aren't getting anything. They are among the 9 million seniors nationwide that don't enroll in government programs that can help pay for food, medicine, and other daily expenses. That's according to the National Council on Aging's Benefits Participation Map, which was updated in May. So the president of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging and Health Groups said he was surprised how much money is being left on the table by seniors missing out on their benefits. So if you are a senior, are you taking advantage of these benefits, or are you thinking, I'll just leave them for someone else? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Because to quote the president and CEO of the Coalition of Wisconsin Aging and Health Groups, older generations don't want to take anything unless they absolutely need it. I can get by with what I've got, that sort of attitude. He said, we don't want people to just get by. We want people to thrive. So if you're not using these, is it because you don't know about them, which is a problem? And we'll give you a number in a little bit to that you can find out about it. But is it that you don't know, or that you're too proud for whatever? And those are for other people. People much more badly off than I am. Yes. I am not bad off enough. I don't need the government's charity.
I chuckle at this because this is the exact same conversation Corey and I have with my mother constantly. We're like, why don't you try that? This is a person you can talk to. We'll have the conversation with you. We'll help you. I don't need that. That's for people who don't make as much money as me. I don't need that. Well, let me tell you, you live on about $1,300 a month on a fixed income. Your rent's right around probably about $900. You need it. You're absolutely one of these people who needs these programs. And it's interesting, though, because when she does go and apply, because of what she does make from my dad's Social Security, depending on the program, she's sometimes at a fringe where she doesn't actually get much of a benefit. Right? Okay. So like with SNAP, she does have SNAP. Now, will she actually use it? No, that's a whole nother conversation.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
She does have SNAP, but she only gets like $24 on her card.
Oh, yeah. You've said that before. It's some woefully small amount that really would do nothing.
It's not helpful at all. It's literally like $24. I mean, and she will.
$24.
And she doesn't. And she will use it for like her staples, like milk and things like that. She will use it for staples. But really, at the end of the day, I'm not saying that seniors shouldn't do this, because I think these are great programs that they should definitely look into. But at the end of the day, if you're getting $24, it's because they tell you that you're kind of priced out, or because you're right at that threshold. I get it. It makes it hard. And then when there's a pride issue on top of it, it makes it even more difficult to convince them that these are programs.
What if
they
find out at church that I'm on the welfare?
That. And I'm like, well, and my mom is so funny, because my grandpa was a very stoic human being, very, very prideful human being. And he passed away about 10 years ago now, lived well into his 80s. And she'll say to me, and this, please don't think I'm crass, but she'll say to me, well, what would grandpa think? I don't know. He's dead. He's not going to think anything. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Who cares what he thinks? He's not here.
He's thinking somebody wants to help you out. Take the help.
Exactly. Exactly.
Take the help.
But I chuckle only because this is an ongoing conversation that we have had in our own family. This has been an ongoing conversation about what's out there, the benefits, why they're actually there, why you should probably try to be using some of these benefits. We've been having it for years. The conversation has not changed over the course of those years. I'll just be honest. So
it's hard, and it is. And as someone who is getting older, it is hard to change people's minds. You get set in your ways, and it's hard. But so the gaps are that people just don't want to use the programs. They don't know about the programs. They don't know how to apply. There's also that population that, like we said, does not want benefits unless they think they truly believe it. So if you are a senior or you know a senior who is in this camp, benefitscheckup.org is a website that you can go to, benefitscheckup.org, or call the National Council on Aging's helpline. That's 800-794-6559, 800-794-6559. And that's it. Now, counties with the lowest share of eligible people using this, or the share of eligible people who are using it, the lowest, Ozaukee and Washington counties, only 13%. Waukesha County, only 15.7%.
Wow.
Milwaukee County had the highest participation at 43%, according to the National Council on Aging. Buffalo County, Jackson, Pepin, Pierce, and Trempealeau counties, 17. Now, the lowest share of eligible people enrolled in Supplemental Security Income, SSI, Green Lake, Marquette, Waupaca, and Ouachara, Dodge and Jefferson counties, Waukesha, and then Milwaukee County, again, had the highest participation rate.
I've got to give Parker a little credit here. I was going to say, let's put those
Parker was
in
ahead,
the show notes. I know. You're so good at your job.
I saw him highlighting
it,
and I was like,
thank you.
I know I can give the website because he's on it.
I love it.
Look at you.
Get him in
caring.
There.
He doesn't want me to go without eating. He wants old people to get everything they can. Thank you, Parker, for caring.
There's a couple of things that come to mind when we talk about this, though, especially with seniors. One is we didn't do certain age groups any favors in this world by thinking that they had to do everything themselves, right? Like I get it. There's certain things in this world.
But that's how it was.
I know. And I get that. And it was very much a generational, cultural thing. I get that. But at the same time now, it didn't do them any favors, right? Because they are resistant to the help. The other thing that comes to mind for me on this is the fact that, isn't this part of the problem with the system, though, itself? Because, you know, when there were so many changes to these programs, this was a major concern when this administration came in and started making changes, because it felt like it was being designed to be purposely difficult. The applications are long. They're confusing. Right. They're difficult to navigate. Some of them now you can only get online. You can't actually call and get anybody to help you fill this out or answer your questions. It's very, very automated. And for a lot of individuals, especially of certain age groups, that's going to create a lot of challenges. And they're going to need a lot of help to navigate the system. And when those changes came down from this administration, I think that was one of my largest fears, is how are certain sections of the population going to navigate this? And I understand there's a pride issue at stake here, but I think there's also a confusion issue at stake, purposely set up to be confusing and difficult so that people don't want to access this. And I get these calls from my mom all the time because she knows these are things that I talk about. They're in my wheelhouse. I'm constantly paying attention to these things. When all of the changes came down from this administration, she was panicked. And she's like, well, I have to check my benefits because they said we're going to lose my benefits, and I need to check these, and I know I need to make sure. Okay, all right. So I have all of her passwords and things, so I would go through it with her while I was on the phone and be like, look, okay, it says that you are still good. It says that you still have these benefits. Not every older adult has that option or that person to actually help them navigate through like that, though.
And we know, just it's human nature. If you start getting frustrated, you're just going to throw in the towel. Yeah. And especially if you're older and you're not tech savvy, you've got maybe it's harder for you to read, and these contracts and policies and applications are small print. And where do I write my name? What box? It is a nightmare.
Yes.
But that way, you know what? That way, we don't have to spend all that money,
right?
Because, you know, we tricked them. We tricked yes. those people into not being able to get their benefits. So they don't know. Well, that's why people can always, if you know somebody or it's you, benefitscheckup.org or the National Council on Aging helpline at 1-800-794-6559. Don't leave the money. They want to give you the money. It's there for you. And here's the other thing. If you've made it to a certain age, you've been paying into these systems
yes.
your whole life.
Yes.
It's your money.
Yes.
You're not taking a handout. You're just going into your pocket.
Right.
Because that's basically what the government money is. You've paid it. I've paid it. We've all paid it.
Yes.
Use it.
And that's what
it's
we remind.
There's no shame. There was never any shame.
No.
There should have never been any shame. But there is definitely no shame.
And we have to remind my mom of that all the time. You and Dad worked really, really hard for these
yeah.
benefits. This is what we have to constantly remind her. But, you know, when seniors start skipping out on these programs, you think about what they do and the difficult choices that they make so that they can get by from check to check. And if they are living on a fixed income, and I see this with my mom, some of them are skipping meals completely. They're not getting yep. the most nutritional foods that they can because they're buying what's cheapest at the stores. Some of them are even going to the extremes where they cut their pills in half so that they can stretch out their prescriptions, right? They delay
right.
those doctor visits. And when you get to a certain age, or if you have health complications, you know, you shouldn't be delaying those doctor visits. My mom does this all the time, and she's got congestive heart failure. Others keep their heat lower in the winter, or they put off on any home repairs if they're still living in their own homes, which then creates a little bit more of a danger for them. So it's this never-ending circle that they're not only not getting what they need, but then they're making decisions so that they can get by. And I am truly somebody who believes that when you get to a certain place in life, and I know that this is not the reality because of where we are as a population and as a country, but I firmly believe that there is some dignity with getting older, and you have given a lot, right? In some cases, to this country, even if you just went in and you did a 9-to-5 job every day, as you
yeah.
mentioned, you've paid in, and there's some
you
sort
paid
of
in.
There's some sort of dignity that should be involved in that, and we don't give that to our seniors like we should.
Well, we're a country that is obsessed with youth. We're obsessed with the newest thing. We're obsessed with moving on. Just like, well, with that mural. Oh, it's been there
yeah.
30 years. We're just going to paint over it. Where, oh, these people are old. They're, you know, it's rough. And the older you get, the more you realize it. And then if you have older parents, you really start to understand it and say, oh, man, yeah, it's tough. When people, and we talked about work-life balance and everything before, when people seem to the system to have outlived their usefulness, we put them on the side.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't be producing, if you can't be productive, if you're not bringing in money, if you're not generating things, yeah, okay, thanks for your service. See you
yeah.
later. We don't need you anymore. And it's horrible. So take the money. It's your money.
Yeah.
Take the money.
Yes, take the money. Absolutely.
Well, Alexander Field, in Wisconsin Rapids, they're going to take the
they're
money.
They're taking the money, yeah.
Yes, we're talking to Melissa Kay, Civic Media's news director, about some terminal upgrades at Alexander Field after this. It's Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It's 8:19 right now, and you are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It's 22 minutes after 8 now. Hopefully you're having a great Wednesday morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. Big news out of Wisconsin Rapids. Construction is soon going to be happening at the Southwood County Airport. Plans to modernize and renovate the terminal at Alexander Field are going to proceed thanks to an FAA grant. Well, here to share the details of that grant and of the project is Melissa Kay. She's news director for WFHR and WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, thanks for being here. We appreciate it. So give us a little background. How did this grant come about?
Well, thank you for having me, Brian and Jamie. I'm glad to be here. So this grant came about because of the airport staff and the airport commission here in Wisconsin Rapids. Jeremy Sickler is the airport manager, and they have been pursuing this grant for quite some time. In fact, this kind of came out of COVID relief funds, and they've been going after these funds for a while because of the growth of Sand Valley here in Wisconsin Rapids area. It's actually located in Rome, about a half an hour from Wisconsin Rapids. But I'm sure you've heard of the Sand Valley Golf Resort. It's well known here in the state and even in DC. And the funding has been coming through for improvements since the growth began in 2017 after the course opened. Jeremy shared with me that the airport has seen a nearly 600% increase in jet activity since that opened. So it's well worth it for them to make these improvements. And they've been making improvements throughout the years here. But the last thing they need to fix is the 50-year-old terminal building. The structure is solid. It's just a little dated, you know, I mean, and while old things are wonderful and we want to celebrate our older things, and especially the older things that hold up, which this building is, but I don't know about you, but paneling.
Yeah.
You need to update it a little bit. The pictures did. I saw the pictures. And I went, yeah, okay. I can see a little modernization would be all right here. This is not, you're not desecrating any art.
No. The cinder block building could definitely use a facelift. But it's not just that. It gives it's the welcoming impression that it gives to so many of these private jets that are flying in. And then that brings business to the area. And maybe that'll attract more businesses. They say, oh, this is great. We've got this beautiful terminal. We've got an observation deck. Why don't I move here and start a business?
Do we know what changes they are planning on making with this grant that they've been given?
Well, it's basically just updates. Okay. When this building was built, there's not a lot of outlets. So when people come in with and they need to charge their phones and their tablets and they're all fighting over one wall plug that doesn't leave the greatest, customer service representation. So they want to add more outlets. They want to update the lounge that's down in the basement. They have to add an elevator because currently they don't have one. There's just one staircase. And then if they can raise additional funds, they would like to add an observation deck on the top, maybe add some like picnic tables and an outdoor area for people to watch and observe the planes landing and taking off and landing.
Melissa Kay is our guest. She's news director for WFHR and WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. So for those of us who haven't been to the South Wood County Airport or Alexander Field, is it mostly private jets? What, give us a little background on the airport and what, I mean, you were told 600% increase. Must be nice to have that kind of dough if all these private jets are flying in.
I agree with that, Brian. That must be nice. it is a lot of private jets, but there's also, small charter planes. There's small, I don't know, plane models. I had this conversation with Jeremy Sickler, the airport manager, too. I'm like, what kind of planes could land? They could actually land a 737 Boeing jet at that airport.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They won't. They won't because there's no call for it. But they could. The airport's capable of it. But mostly it's the largest that they see on a regular basis is like the 50 to 60 seat executive jet lines.
Yeah. Sure.
So those are the biggest that land on a regular basis, but small two-seater Cessnas, probably even ultralights. I see those in the air sometimes around here. So, local people who have their pilot's license fly in and out of there. There's a plenty of hangar space. Jeremy really hopes somebody would want to build another big giant hangar there. That would be handy, but at least that's what he told me.
Well, listen, you got the grant to leverage other things off. You know, so maybe
that
maybe
is what they're hoping.
Help.
Yes. Okay.
They're hoping to raise some private funds to be able to make these additional increases and then make it more welcoming to the community.
Right now, it's expected to cost around $6 million with some of the improvements they want to make, correct? And do they have plans for additional funding if they need to? And how would that
look? The goal
look?
Is $6
million. Okay.
Right
okay.
now, they've only secured that $2.7
million. Okay, gotcha.
But they're hoping to use that to leverage private funding, state and federal funds more if possible, but the private funding would have to come through for that $6 million.
Besides the airport growing with their traffic and everybody at the draw of Sand Valley, what's the larger economic impact to the area with food and lodging and entertainment and all of that?
Well, that's the thing, Brian. When a lot of these planes fly in, the people that own the planes or have, you know, chartered the planes are then going out to Sand Valley for 1 week, 2 weeks, a month, however long they're here. Well, the pilots and the staff from those airlines are now staying in the community. They're at hotels in the area. They're visiting restaurants. They're going shopping. So it is a very much a boon for the area. We have an opportunity to hopefully increase our public transportation here in Wisconsin Rapids, which is sadly very minimal. And we could definitely hope for that. And then also, like I said, maybe somebody would say, hey, this is a great community. They have a beautiful terminal. Let's start a business here.
Sure.
There you go. Well, Melissa, we appreciate your time today. Melissa Kay is news director for WFHR and WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. She's also co-host of Perspective, which comes your way right at 9 o'clock. Are you just the host?
I'm the
straight
host.
Up host? Oh, straight,
straight
up host. Wow.
Producer, all of it.
Sorry,
it's all me, bro.
Sorry, Melissa. Didn't mean to denigrate. Melissa hosts the show. Listen to it. We'll be back. Good news on the homelessness front in Wisconsin. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 8:35 right now. Thank you for having us on today. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. We'd love to hear from you at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Feel free to jump in whenever you can. Good news for the homeless situation in Wisconsin and across the country. There were fewer homeless people in the United States on a single night in January 2025 than in January 2024, but homelessness did increase in 28 states, according to the latest federal count. Now, year over year, there have been declines. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development counted 745,652 homeless people in the latest point-in-time estimate. That's down 3% from the year before. The count was conducted before the Trump administration late last year announced a shift away from long-term housing in favor of funding transitional housing with work and addiction treatment and requirements. So we're going to put people in halfway houses instead of long-term housing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
HUD says the decrease was driven largely by a 4% decline in the number of people in emergency shelter. The number of unsheltered homeless people fell by about 3%. So still a huge, huge problem. And there's never an answer, right? There's never an answer what you're going to do. Just looking, somebody asked about the elections last night. There was a there's a mayoral election in Los Angeles, and one of the candidates looks like he's going to be one of the two in the general election is Spencer Pratt, who was a reality star. He made it. His house burned down in the fires last year, so he's all angry about that. Then it made it look like he was living in a trailer, but that trailer was parked outside the Beverly Hills Hilton where he was really living. The point of why I bring him up is they asked him about the homeless problem in Los Angeles because it is really, really rampant out there. That problem is very widespread. And his response, he is a Republican. I'll just put that out there. His response, they're not homeless, they're drug addicts. We're going to get rid of them all. And I think that's kind of where a lot of people look. It's not drug addicts. We know there's a lot of people with mental problems.
Sure.
We know there are alcoholics, drug addicts. There are also people who are working minimum wage jobs and who lose their homes.
Yeah.
We know that there's families living in their cars. We know that a country that has espoused being the richest country on earth also has the most people living on the streets.
Yeah.
But where do we go? Well, that's the question, right? We always come back to, okay, what do we do? Because if you talk to experts, they say there's a lot of the people who have the mental disorders and stuff. They don't want to go into shelters. They don't want to go in to places. There's people who've had bad experiences in shelters. They'd rather take their chances out on the streets. So you're never going to eradicate homelessness.
No.
But what do we do for the people who do want to go somewhere else?
What I think is interesting is the president's response and his administration's response to homelessness, right? Because this administration, as we talk about places that have increased and some that have decreased, their response is to say that a lot of the policies that cities and states have implemented, since 2013, this is all just proof that they're not actually doing anything.
Right.
And that's not helpful. That's not helpful. And obviously,
it helps them shift the blame away from themselves.
Exactly. About 22, this is across the country, about 22 of every 10,000 people are homeless on any given night. And one of the big improvements that we've seen since 2024 was a decline in the number of unhoused families with children. That's actually down about 11%. So that's all, mm-hmm. That's very good news. Sure. But at the same time, you're right, this is essentially affecting everyone. And even if you've never experienced homelessness yourself, employers struggle to find workers when housing is unavailable. Schools then face greater challenges when students don't have stable homes. Hospitals, right. Law enforcement, local governments, they all often end up responding to problems that could have been prevented just because somebody could have had a home, right? Or somewhere to at least go. And I think it's interesting that here in Wisconsin, we've seen several in some communities, we've actually seen housing facilities close because they didn't have the grant money or they didn't have the aid anymore to keep those facilities open. And granted, when you're talking about some of these communities and some of these facilities were only, could maybe only house 10 to maybe 20 people and maybe in some cases even less, it doesn't feel like a great number. But think of the people that impacted on a given night that weren't on the streets that had a place to go. And it's also fascinating that when we talk about the decrease across the nation, Milwaukee is actually bucking that trend just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right. In fact, their numbers are growing as far as homelessness in Milwaukee.
Right. They're saying there's a little progress, but overall homelessness in Milwaukee is up. A few years ago, Milwaukee's the Common Council and everything, they said they were on track to end family homelessness, mm-hmm. but the number of people who are homeless has grown. So maybe there's less families living on the, or who are homeless, but individuals, there's more. And listen, Milwaukee is no different than any major city. If you drive around, you'll see encampments under viaducts and everywhere. It's tough. Organizations there are working on the issues. They say Milwaukee has quietly become an example of how coordinated prevention efforts can work during a larger national crisis. So the data collected by the Milwaukee Coalition on Housing and Homelessness shows more people are entering Milwaukee's homeless service programs than exiting it. So that's good. 765 people entered the service since 2025. That was when it was without those people are without stable housing for an average of 88 days. 77%. 77% homeless for the very first time. And that should scare.
Yeah.
Shouldn't scare if you're not in that position, but it should just scare you as a person who's part of this society.
Yes.
That, man, it can happen that fast. We all have heard the numbers that a lot of families are one major accident or something away from that. One car repair, one missed mortgage payment, missed rent payment, one day that they get sick and they don't have insurance and so they have to pay out of their pocket or they have to miss work and then they get fired and now it's...
And I was doing, when I was looking at these two stories back to back last night, and I was kind of like, well, if we know that there's rural facilities closing in rural areas of the state, how is the rural portion of the state doing in Wisconsin based on this national trend? And it turns out that Milwaukee is not the only part of the state that is bucking this nationwide trend. In fact, more than 3,200 people are experiencing homelessness in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin's rural counties. That's a 9% increase from just last year. And across the state, homelessness has climbed above 5,200 people. That's the highest level here in Wisconsin in nearly a decade. And at the same time that we're talking about that, more than 20,000 Wisconsin students are experiencing homelessness right now. That's the highest number since 2019. And what makes it, I think, so much different than when we're talking about urban areas like Milwaukee and Madison, right, in this state, or even your areas near Green Bay, Oshkosh, it's a little bit more invisible when you get into those rural communities.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't see the encampments. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more open space for people
to
go. And I was going to say hide, but hide isn't the right word, but go where they're not out in public view as much.
Right. And you think about the fact that, you know, some of that means maybe sleeping in a car. Sometimes it means staying temporarily with a relative. Maybe they're doing a couch surfing type of thing where they're just going from house to house. And because it becomes less invisible in those rural communities, I think for a lot of us, it's easier to, I don't, ignore probably isn't the right word, but not realize that it's even happening.
When it's not in, it's like anything. When it's not in your face all the time, you don't really know that it's happening.
Right.
You don't think about it. Like, you think, as you're driving through rural communities, you're not thinking about homelessness. As you're driving in downtown Milwaukee or walking down State Street in Madison, you see the homeless people are right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're top of mind. You're like, oh my God, what do we do? How do we stop this? If I'm driving through the country,
You're not thinking about it.
Thinking, even if I see somebody's car packed up with stuff, I just figure they're going somewhere else.
Yeah. And I think if you're listening to this today and you're kind of appalled by these numbers, as you should be, I think one of the numbers that stood out to me the most as I was going through this was the student homelessness numbers, because that is, I mean, we're already dealing with school districts, right, that have diminishing numbers. Just a few weeks ago, we watched a lot of these towns have referendum votes. So we were already talking about diminishing services and student populations. And now we're talking about children who literally don't have a place to go on some nights. And when a child doesn't know where they're going to sleep, if you've been a parent, stability is a really big thing for kids. Yeah. It's crazy how they like to know exactly what's happening in their world. Learning for them, though, is going to become much harder. And then those are the types of challenges that are going to follow them for basically most of their lives. And
the kids are going to fall behind. And we talked about earlier with the Portage District getting their grant about all the mental health issues. Talk about being anxious.
Yeah.
The fact that you don't have a place to live, or the like you said with the couch surfing, you don't know whose house you're living in today. Maybe you're with grandma, but maybe grandma wants you to leave. And I've had exposure to kids who are living that way, and it is very difficult. And then there's nowhere to really study. There's nobody.
No.
Your parents are trying to figure out how to get you a roof over your head. They're not spending a lot of time helping you with your schoolwork. And everything is connected to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And when we try to silo some of these problems, we're missing the big picture.
Yeah.
Because, all right, it's just homelessness. Well, who's homeless? Well, the family with the kids in the school. Well, where do the kids go to school? Well, that's an issue, because we got to find somebody who let us use their address so that we're in the district. And, well, don't you have a job? Well, I did, and I got laid off, and that's why I am homeless. But I can't get a job because I don't have an address,
right?
Because they're going to check,
right?
And I'm not paying rent, so I don't have a credit thing. So now I can't get a job. My kid can't go to school. I got to live with somebody else. I got to park the car somewhere, and we all live out of that. Or maybe I could do some day work, get a little cash. We're staying at a cheap hotel,
yep.
And that's not good either. Everything just keeps rolling. Yeah,
it's never ending, and
I can't imagine the stress that puts on you as a
right.
as an individual.
Yep.
Then add the stress of being a parent.
Yep.
Then add your kid's stress. Forget about it.
You know, and kudos to cities like Milwaukee and I know other more urban areas that have some resources, but I think that's one of the underlying issues when you look at the rural areas, right? They have fewer resources. Roughly 60% of Wisconsin's homeless population lives in rural communities. Those areas Wow. only have about 23% of the state's supportive housing units that they have in places like Milwaukee and Madison. There's not enough resources to go around.
We are not solving any problems today. We are just pointing more out, and it's a little disheartening. You know what else is disheartening? When ideas are stolen. I'm looking at you, world pup. We'll talk about that and more. It is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. She's Jamie Martinson. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's puppy love. That's awesome. It's 8:52 right now. I'm Jamie Martinson.
Donny Osmond. Bringing it back.
Love Donnie.
Wow, Parker.
Donnie was the best. That's good.
Wow.
Good job, Parker.
Sometimes I remember the names of songs you guys tell me.
Because I have no shame anymore, I will tell you I had that album.
Yeah.
And then we'll move on. All right, Jamie, you brought this to my attention because I hate when somebody steals another idea. I have disdain for reboots and all of that because
sure.
somebody put this in, and now you've brought me even the world of puppy sports being affected.
Here's the thing with this one though. Can we really truly in this world, and I get that this is a downright just stealing of ideas, but really in this particular moment in time, I think I'm okay with this one because I think we all need a little bit more puppy in our life. I'm okay with this one. I'm okay
all right.
with this one.
Well, and how do we get that puppy in our life?
Well, on June 10th, LG Channels is going to launch World Pup. And this is going to put rescue puppies on the football field so that they can raise awareness for adoption. And these baby dogs are going to play soccer, right? So if you're thinking that this is a lot like the Puppy Bowl, yes, you are exactly right. You are exactly 100% right that this is exactly like the Puppy Bowl. And yes, it's the exact same producers that produces the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
And it's
we had one good idea. We're going to keep milking that idea.
This is all for fun and charity, obviously. And the producer of the Puppy Bowl is All Three Media America's Bright Spot Content. And they are behind this four-part soccer series.
Well, it's got to be a bracket, so it's got to come down to the World Pup Champion.
48 rescue puppies participating in this bracket, and they're going to represent 8 nations to mirror the global appeal of the World Cup, which obviously kicks off the following day, even though all the pups are from the United States.
Kicks off. I see what you did there.
The U.S. World Cup veteran and CBS Sports host Jimmy Conrad is going to serve as the tournament's official referee. And I'm very excited about this. LG Channels has partnered with 12 shelters and rescue organizations across the country so that they can spotlight rescue animals in need of a home. It's going to be available on LG Smart TVs and on LGChannels.com if you want to catch the World Pup. And in all the commercials, the puppies are wearing capes. It's just the cutest thing ever.
Like Liberace capes or superhero capes?
Superhero capes.
Okay.
They have the superhero kicks. I don't know.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Care.
They're wearing. Yes.
They're adorable.
No, I think it's adorable. I think it's adorable. I'm trying to figure out the cheer. You know, when you're watching soccer and there's somebody scores a point, it's a goal. So will the puppies just yell "bowl"?
I don't. I think you have to. I think you absolutely have
Bone.
To. Oh, it's gonna be so good. And this is why in this particular case, because I love the puppy bowl. Every year before the Super Bowl, it's one of my favorite traditions. They've added the kitten bowl to it, and I am always glued to the puppy bowl, and it's my favorite part of Super Bowl weekend. And so if I can get 4-part series of this now before the World Cup, yes, I steal.
Are we
all
doing
the
an office bracket like March Madness?
We
are we
should.
Going to, are, is there going to be wagering
we
on the
should,
World
absolutely.
Pup?
We should.
Parker,
absolutely.
You're a demented, deranged gambler. A degenerate gambler. Can
degenerate.
We,
there
can
you
we
go.
Start
you
something?
Got
there. Yeah. I stick with all three adjectives. All
okay,
of those.
I'll bet on the puppy bowl you get. Or sorry. Puppy bowl.
World
no, no, no.
Pup.
World
the
pup.
World Pup.
I'm sorry, World Pup. Very different things.
Yes, very different things. One's a football, one's a soccer, yes. And there's a whole lot of cuteness involved in both. Now, during the break, we were talking about the fact that your lovely wife is getting beagle fever every time she watches the news and she sees all these beagles.
Yeah, but she's insane.
But I got a solution for you. Have you seen our text from Tiffany?
I saw Tiffany. Thank you, Tiffany.
Tiffany has a foster beagle, Sunny, who is absolutely the sweetest, says Tiffany. Super well-behaved and smart. She says you need
I'm
a beagle,
sure.
Brian. Adopt her.
I have two dogs. I am not opposed to dogs. I have had
dogs
for 30 years. I'm still dealing with a health issue on one of the dogs.
Yeah.
I have a grand dog that comes over, increasing, you know, tripling the dog amount in the house. So at this point, there will be no additional dogs
Aww.
Coming into the house.
Boo.
That is,
how,
you only have one.
I do.
Parker
only, have
only
one.
Has one.
How persuasive,
Frank has zero.
How persuasive is your wife, though? This is what I have to ask. How
not, not on some things.
Okay, all right.
On this, there will be no, as Homer Simpson once said, the foot has spoken.
Okay. All right. No,
so
it's funny
be
because
no
we
more dogs.
We frequently talk about getting another dog because Aspen is a whole pile of love and fun. However, Aspen is also a little dominant. And what we have found is when she goes to like our puppy, because her dog trainer also puppy sits her a lot of the times for us.
Okay.
And because he knows her very, very well. And she does very, very well until she realizes they're not leaving. And then she gets a little territorial. And he's actually worked with her on it. And we have too. And I'm just afraid it would not be a good situation. And I don't want to ever put Aspen in that situation or another dog in that situation.
No, you have to find the right dog that blends
right.
in. We've been really lucky since we got our very first dog. When we brought second dogs in, everybody got along to the
yes.
point when we had one situation where we went to see, there was a dog. Oh, Debbie loved this dog. She was going to bring her home because one of our dogs had passed away. And I didn't like this dog from the jump. And I said, all right, but you know what? We'll bring Baloo. That dog went to attack our dog within seconds. I was like, "That! I told you that was a bad dog. Why don't you ever listen to me?" And on that happy note, no beagles, but we will be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening and being part of the program. We appreciate it. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. Thank you so much for another fun-filled, interesting, newsworthy day. We'll be back again tomorrow on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.